Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight. Let's open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for this opportunity to come together, to be in thy presence, and to worship thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless this entire service. We ask, Lord, that thy presence would be felt by all who are here and by all who are listening online. We ask, Lord, that thou would fill us with the desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Lord, that thou would talk to our hearts and move in our minds. We pray, O God, that thy presence would be upon thy people, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon thy people. And we ask, Lord, that everything we do here this night would be according to thy perfect will and according to thy perfect plan. Bless this service, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start in the chorus book tonight with number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. Number 94.
Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus with the name of Jesus for the
stay on this same page and sing number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the refuge for
turn now to number 40 and sing Great is the Lord, number 40. Let's sing number 37, God is great in my soul, number 37.
God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. Oh, God is great and greatly to be praised.
Page now and sing number 34, How Great is Our God, number 34.
How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the watchers of the mighty red
turn now to number 19 and sing Some Trust in Chariots, number 19. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Turn now to number 77 and sing In the Name of Jesus, number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Is great. 108 and sing He Set Me Free. 108. He set me free. Oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound. Before we turn this over to Shirley for the night, 169, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. 169.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness.
over to Shirley, and she is going to lead us in a Bible study.
Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be here tonight. So thankful that the Lord is here. Oh my, we can rest in His promises. And that song, oh yes, of His mercies that we have begun, we can continue it and know that it is forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. It's wonderful to be able to set aside time to worship the Lord. Oh my, He so looks for a people that will give them will give their hearts to Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We'll begin by prayer here tonight and talk to the Lord as we begin. Ask Him to have His way. Praise our God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for these precious moments that You've given us, Lord. We thank You for the treasure that we have in Your Word, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You for the strength that You give us. Oh, Lord, the courage. Oh, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, Lord. Oh, God, despite these tumultuous times, oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that Thy peace resides in our hearts. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that You are here. Oh, God, no matter what is going on in this world, You are here to guide us, to direct us. So, oh, Lord, to get us home, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, to make a way, even though we be wandering through the wilderness, Lord. And, oh, God, it may seem very dangerous at times. It may seem, oh, Lord, very difficult. But, oh, God, You know how to help Your people, Lord. You know how to make a way, Lord. You know how, oh, God, to give us, oh, Lord, that strength that we need, that we must have from You in order to endure until the end. I pray, oh, God, that You'd be here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that You would meet the needs of Your people. I pray, oh God, that Thy presence would come down, Lord. Oh God, that we would feel Thy touch, oh Lord, that we would feel Thy anointing, Lord. Oh God, that we would feel that confidence that comes in knowing that You are with us, Lord. You are here to make a way. Oh God, with Your help, we can, oh God, make a difference. We can have, oh Lord, oh God, that confidence in Thee. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, oh God, that You bless this study, to go forth and do the work that, oh Lord, You have ordained it to do, Lord. Oh God, I know it's in Thee, Lord. It's because of Thee, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that You'd bring it forth, oh God, according to Your will, according to Your ways, Lord. Oh God, that, oh Lord, You would speak to each and every heart. Oh God, that You would, oh God, give us, oh Lord, that enablement that we need from You, Lord. And, oh God, that You would pour out of Your Spirit upon us, Lord, in a mighty and a wonderful way. Oh God, I give this to You. I pray in the name of Jesus. I know I can do nothing without You, Lord. And I ask, oh Lord, again, that You would move in a mighty way, that You would strengthen Your people, Lord, to use this word for Your name's sake, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is wonderful to have the Lord in such times as these. And, you know, we do indeed realize that these are perilous times. I know what was written in 2 Timothy, that third chapter, about these times being perilous is certainly a reality right now. And, oh my, I believe it was perilous when the apostles walked this world. And oh yes, the early church did its work and oh yes, went forth. But oh my, here we are at the end of the world. And I believe we're also in that time when so many will not endure sound doctrine. It just seems like things have changed a lot in these last years. And you know, I believe we've been through some times that were pretty much unknown in likeness before to us. And oh my, you know, it's been one lesson after another to go through that time period. this time period that they called a pandemic, and you know, the COVID-19 as they named it, and you know what all they allow to interfere with our lives because of it. All those disruptions that we saw to that which was normal formerly, those restrictions, all those non-essential businesses as they deemed some to come down, and oh my, just all the things, the lockdowns, the masks, all the restrictions in so many ways. I've always felt sorry for people who were confined, and people in nursing homes, and particularly over this last year where visitors were not allowed like before. And so many other things have been restricted. But praise the Lord, our God has been with us. And interestingly, at this moment, it seems like maybe, you know, there are some lessening of restrictions. Like, I know I heard from Sister Kelly, who has worked a ministry for inmates, women inmates, and for quite that period of time, she was very restricted. She was not able to go there in person and minister to them. And quite recently, I did get a letter from her, and she explained that, you know, things had changed, and actually it was, I believe they had a different sheriff that was voted there in her area, and she was again to resume her ministry at the prison. And she was just rejoicing in that. But oh my, at the same time, there are many worries, and we have many pressures. And right now, there's talk of what could be a universal international passport and all these kind of things that they are working as those that are in charge have imposed vaccines upon the people. And oh my, we've just seen, you know, just the beginning of such. But thank the Lord, we can rest in his promises. We can know that regardless of what is going on in this world, that our God is going to be with us. And that is such a wonderful thing to be aware of, to know in our hearts, to be assured of. Because if God is with us, there is no power, there is no authority that can be against us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, he knows how to make a way for his people. And furthermore, he knows how to give us strength to stand in the evil day. Amen. I'm going to call this message here tonight, Strength to Stand in the Evil Day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's begin by going to Luke, the 21st chapter here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 21. Praise the Lord. And we'll begin with verse 25 here towards the end of this chapter. Verse 25. It begins by reading here, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." I believe that's quite fitting for the times that we are seeing. And it's interesting here in this 25th verse, you know, it seems to cover all the bases. You know, it's talking about signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars. Well, that seems to be the heavens. And then it talks about upon the earth, distress of nations. And then it talks about the sea and the waves roaring. And I believe that describes the confusion of these moments, the distress of nations with perplexity. And yes, that word perplexity, it indicates great confusion and bewilderment and uncertainty, and I believe these are the times that we are seeing right now. It goes on to tell us in verse 26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And oh my, I believe we're seeing all these kind of things. You know, again, it just seems like as far as, you know, this COVID-19 that's been upon the earth, it seems like, I mean, you know, here in this county, in this area, it's, you know, the cases are way, way down. And, you know, you just kind of feel like, you know, it's a little different in that sense. But in spite of that, it seems like, wow, they've come up with this vaccine. And there's worries about all the mutations that may come forth. And there's certainly concerns about that vaccine because it's not like other vaccines, not that I've appreciated them in the past. I, you know, God knows. But anyway, I know they have caused a lot of damages to human bodies. And they're, you know, even normally there's been a lot of consequences quite often. But this one is one that hasn't been proven to be safe even under medical standards. And oh my, it's got this mRNA, and you know, there's thoughts that, you know, it's going to change the DNA in our bodies, and there's all kinds of thoughts that, you know, people have been alerting us with. But despite even that, there are concerns about the mutations that have come forth, the variants, and now there are worries about a South African strain and a Brazilian strain, and you know, people that are studying such things are concerned. They're very worried. I know Samuel wrote in his newsletter that will be forthcoming soon that, you know, a professor there at the University of Washington, a disease expert, was saying he couldn't sleep when he started studying the South African mutation that they fear is coming upon this earth. And of course, you know, there's so many things to be worried about if we would just, you know, set our mind at that and look at all the negatives. Indeed, I do believe that we are seeing a time when men's hearts are failing them for fear. There's a lot of apprehension in this world. There's a lot of concerns. And, you know, you can look in the realm of the unrest and all the uncertainties, the division, all the things that are going on in this earth. The wars and the rumors of wars that have not ceased. And all the potential. So yes, we have seen all these things coming to pass and men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, as it tells us in verse 26. And then in the midst of this, there's going to be something that so many are not looking for. But those of us who have hope in the Lord Jesus anticipate that moment when our Lord and our Savior shall come forth. And praise the Lord, in the midst of all this trouble in this world, in the midst of all this confusion and all the hard things, and perhaps it'll be at our hardest moment all at once, our Lord is going to come and not tarry. It's described in verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Oh, what a moment awaits the children of God. Oh, praise the Lord. We have so much to look for, but we know that our God is going to come and not tarry. And it tells us just a little more description in the 13th chapter of the book of Mark. And I just want you to just note this here as I look at Mark 13 for a minute here. It says in verse 26, pretty much what I just read here in Luke. But verse 26, Mark 13 says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." And verse 27 here in Mark tells us, "And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." Oh, yes, I believe this tells us the order of events here. Oh, our God is coming, our Savior. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ coming forth, the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And yes, as this is all coming forth, he sends forth his angels to gather forth his people, his elect, from the four winds, from all four corners of the earth, from every direction, his people, his remnant, those that have been saved by the power of God from the uttermost part of the earth. And oh yes, of course, bringing forth those that are with him in heaven, praise the Lord, to the uttermost part of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord, our God surely will come. This is a moment, and oh yes, we know that every eye is going to see him on that occasion. Oh, there's going to be a resurrection at that moment, and all at once that realization that he's coming. He is here. Things are going to change. Oh, there's an end to this period of time, this dispensation. Oh, yes, that we've known for all our lives. But oh, yes, he's going to come with clouds, and every eye is going to see him. Tells us in Revelation, the first chapter, "And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. He's coming. And this we know. This we believe. Oh, yes. It's going to come forth. Back here in Luke chapter 21, it tells us in verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Praise the Lord. We're seeing these things. All these unprecedented things that all have come forth upon this world. Surely it is time to look up, to lift up our heads with that realization that our Lord is coming back. And this time he's not coming as a babe. He's not coming unrecognized. But this time he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord, there's going to be no denying. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. It goes on to tell us in verse 29 here in Luke 21, "And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and you know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand." And here we are, you know, we've gone through winter, and though it's still pretty cold out there at times, today seemed kind of cold to me, but I see signs of spring. There are robins that, you know, we see in the grass. The grass is green. You know, the snow is gone. And oh my, there's indicators, you know, little shoots coming up here and there. I know we're talking to Brother Rob for a few minutes before this service, and anyway, you know, he was telling me that he was out looking in his yard and saw little shoots. He put some garlic, you know, in the earth, and lo and behold, it's coming forth. And pretty soon we'll see all the other little things coming forth, the asparagus and the rhubarb and, you know, the perennials that, you know, will come up when the weather is proper here in Wisconsin. But yes, We watch the signs of the weather. You know, we look for the robins in the spring, and you know, it tells us summer is coming forth. And just as Jesus was saying in verse 30, where they now shoot forth, ye see and know of yourselves that summer is now nigh at hand. Praise the Lord. But see, Jesus is using this analogy to help us to realize that when we see these events that relate to his coming, that, oh my, we have to realize that his coming is at the door, as he tells us in verse 31. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And verse 32 tells us, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Amen. What God has declared, it will happen. Verse 33 tells us, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is what, you know, we see, you know, what we're so familiar with here, this world. It's soon going to be consumed. The elements, oh yes, oh, they're going to be expired, you know, and the earth is going to be burnt up, and, you know, all the works that are therein are going to be burnt. And even the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. But God's word, what he has said, it will not pass away. God's word is absolute. And what he has declared, it will come to pass. Oh, yes. Oh, he is a solid rock. He is the foundation. And without it, oh, it's nothing but drifting sand. It's all just, you know, something that will change. And in fact, you know, we live in this world that, you know, we don't even know from what we hear, if it's, you know, the things that people say and they tell us, there's so much confusion in this time that we live in that we don't even know what to think. And you know, as far as what is reality, we hear this, we hear that. And sometimes, you know, it's two different extremes. And who's to know? But God knows. And God is in charge. And despite all the changeableness of this world and all the instability of this world, we do have an anchor of our soul. Praise the Lord. We have a hope that the Lord Jesus has planted within. He has given us. And oh yes, his words, his scripture, oh, that is something that we can, oh, know of a certainty that it will come to pass, that it will not pass away. Amen. So here we are at such an hour as this. And Luke went on to give us warning here in this 21st chapter of Luke. Verse 34 tells us, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. And oh my, how it is in this world. You know, we can become so busy. So busy. Oh, there's always things to do. There's always some need here or there. But we are told here there is a need. There is something to give heed to, a very important thing, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That would be over-indulgence, you know, food and drink and other things that, you know, are overboard. And then, he says, drunkenness and cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. Well, I believe it's been a plan of the devil, a method of the devil to make people so busy and make life a struggle so often that, you know, to make ends meet that, you know, you have to do this and do that. And, oh my, in so many cases, both husband and wife are working jobs and sometimes more than one job. And you know, then there's children quite often to take here and take there. And you know, other circumstances that seem like they must be tended to. All that preoccupation. But how needful it is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Above anything else and before anything else. Oh, to put God first above all other things, to make Him the priority in our lives. And oh, yes, to keep that thought deep in our hearts that our Lord is going to come. And He's not going to announce it, you know, an hour before His coming. You know, He's not going to announce it 2 days before His coming. But as children of the Lord Jesus, we keep it in our hearts. It's to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's for those that are mindful of His return, to which He will come, to whom He will come. But the devil's mode of operation seems to be to keep people so busy, you know, surfeiting and in drunkenness, partying and doing all kinds of things that, you know, people deem to be necessary, excuses of all sorts, or maybe to drown out troubles, God only knows, and the cares of this life. Oh, yes, the devil has people so preoccupied that it could be that that day would come upon us unawares. In a time when we're not looking for our Lord to come. It explains in verse 35. For as a snare shall it come on them, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Oh, in other words, it's going to be like a trap. It's going to be very sudden and, you know, unannounced, as I've already said, and it's going to come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. We're given the remedy in verse 36, that which is very needful, oh yes, in order to take heed to ourselves. It says in verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, that is so needful. And, you know, I do believe the Lord has helped us greatly in so many ways. You know, that need, oh my, to watch and pray always. And I hear the cries of God's people. Oh, yes, we're concerned. We're concerned what they might require of us. There's worries that, you know, they could, you know, insist that we all be vaccinated, for example. And oh my, we just see all these things coming to pass. In fact, you know, we know in the Israeli state, they've already made a declaration and they've already come forth with a passport. And oh, there are great concerns, you know, because not everybody is so inclined, thank God, to go forth and take that vaccination. But they're restricting. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go there. You know, you've got to have your pass. And there is a possibility that it could be right here, that they will, you know, make conditions. In fact, I know Brother Samuel wrote in his newsletter that is forthcoming that one there, Rutgers University in New Jersey, has already declared that they are requiring the students there to be vaccinated. And again, oh my, we don't know what we're going to see. But, you know, there is that cry that, oh, God, help us to be able to escape all these things that are coming to pass, these things that they might impose upon us. But I thank God he knows how to make a way. He knows how to make a way for his people. And, you know, I thank God for the good reports. I know with Sister Anna Marika there in the Netherlands, I know we've been praying with her. And you know, I know they were concerned. She works, you know, with people that are handicapped. And, you know, definitely, you know, could be concerns that, you know, they might have requirements to be vaccinated. And you know, It's quite amazing. The Lord really helped her. I know she was sick for a few days, and you know, there was worries. They wanted her to take the COVID test, and God made a way. So she got out of that, you know, because, I mean, yeah, there's a lot to be concerned over. And she was told that, you know, they weren't going to require the vaccination. But, oh my, we have to rejoice. We have to thank the Lord. You know, the people that she looks over, the handicapped people, and they don't have the mental capacity to make determinations themselves. They were all given the COVID test and the vaccination. I thank God my sister prayed for those dear people because they really didn't have a means of determining. You know, there was no one to, you know, keep them out of that. But I thank God he knows how to help us. He knows how to make a way of escape so that we'll be able to stand, to continue to walk this earth despite of all the things that are coming to pass. And you know, we don't know. There, you know, again, we may be seeing the mark of the beast. This may all be leading to that. It may actually be, you know, just kind of just going forth in that direction to lead right into that sort of thing that is required, so you can't buy or sell without it. God only knows. But I know one thing, we can stand on the promises of God. And oh yes, we can pray, we can watch, and we can pray. We know that our God is going to come. He is going to come and save us. Praise the Lord. He is going to come. And he knows how to make a way of escape for his people. He knows how to give us that kind of strength so that we can endure until the end, so that we will be fit to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. That's the confidence that we have in our God. Amen. But how we know we need to make time for the things that are necessary. While the door is yet open. While there yet is something called time. While we can still work while it is day. Because that night is coming when no man can work. And how we need God's strength to stand in the evil day. Amen. Let's go over to the next chapter here in the book of Luke. Let's go over to Luke 22. And I want to just refer to another portion of scripture here. Let's be concerned here with verse 31 here in Luke chapter 22. It tells us, as the Lord Jesus was talking to Simon Peter, Jesus states in verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So here it is. Jesus saw something that Simon Peter didn't understand. Jesus understood that there was kind of like a war going on, and Satan wanted Peter, so to speak, in simple terms here. He wanted Peter. He was going to take him and sift him as wheat. But praise the Lord. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And then he went on to say, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And here it is, we realize that Peter thought that he was ready to go to prison for the cause of the Lord Jesus. He was ready to die. He says that in verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Verse 34, Jesus answers by saying, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And oh my, this is something that Peter didn't understand. He followed Jesus those 3.5 years. He'd seen the miracles. He'd seen the casting out of devils. He witnessed Jesus raising the dead. And he had been a part of it too. Jesus had sent out the 12 to go forth. He had given them power to heal the sick and to cast out devils, to go into the cities and declare the gospel, the good news. And Peter did not yet realize that he needed a strength beyond that of his own. Oh, the Lord Jesus had enabled them to go forth and do what they had already done. But this time was coming forth when he would need a greater strength. Oh, the Lord had been with them. Oh, yes, to help them. When Peter was walking on the water and began to sing, Jesus was there. Oh, to reach out and help him when he began to sink. But Jesus knew that his life on this earth, his ministry on this earth, was short-lived in that respect. And that there would be this time when Peter would need a strength beyond his own. And the Lord Jesus would not be there to give him that strength in person. But he told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. There was going to be something beyond. He was going to be converted. To be converted means to be transformed, to be changed. Peter needed something greater than his own strength, his own abilities, his own power. He needed to be converted. He needed a strength to stand. And although he thought in himself that he was ready to die for the cause of the Lord Jesus or to go to prison, he did not realize his own weakness. We look more, if we look further in this chapter, we will realize that when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, he asked Peter, James, and John to go with him and to pray with him. They weren't able to do that. They weren't able to pray with him. Yes, they were, I would say, physically exhausted, I would guess, or just so heavy with sorrow that, you know, that they couldn't bear it. But they slept while Jesus prayed in agony, while he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood that fell down from his face down to the ground. Oh, as he cried out, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. No, the disciples did not have that kind of stamina at the moment to pray with Jesus. And Jesus said unto them in verse 46, Why sleepy? Rise and pray, lest he enter into temptation. Of course, after that happened, here came a great multitude. Here came Judas leading them and going before them, it tells us. And when, oh yes, he came to Jesus, he gave him a kiss of betrayal. And oh my, the realization that that hour had come. That hour, that power of darkness would be upon those that had followed Jesus. It tells us as all of these things came to pass and they led Jesus away. It tells us in verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. You see, Jesus had been taken into custody, we could say. He'd been taken unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders had all come out. And, you know, there it was. They were going to try him. Peter goes in, again, thinking that he has strength. But my, when it comes down to it, he finds out how frail he is, how lacking in strength, in courage, in boldness he is. So here he is. They have taken Jesus to the high priest's house. And it tells us, as I already read in verse 54, and Peter followed afar off. And obviously it was a bit chilly. It says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And it tells us in verse 57 when, you know, somebody looked at him and then said, he's one that followed Jesus. In other words, it says in verse 57, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know not him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And again, Peter doesn't have the strength, the courage to acknowledge that he is one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And verse 59 goes on to tell us, in about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And this time, oh yes, Peter says it again, man, I know not what thou sayest. And oh yes, it tells us, in the other gospels that, you know, he even used to, oh, he swore. You know, he was so upset. He was trying to adamantly, you know, say he was not one of Jesus' followers. How amazing. Immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, oh, the rooster crew, just as Jesus had said it would happen. And at that same time, obviously, they were taking Jesus through the hall or wherever they were, in a place where he was visible. And verse 61 tells us, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You see, Peter thought he had strength to stand. He thought, oh yes, he had enough stamina and courage and boldness and determination to stand regardless of consequences. He didn't think he was going to betray or he was going to deny his Lord. But it happened because he did not have that kind of strength. And in reality, despite the fact that he followed Jesus those 3.5 years, and he had realized who Jesus Christ was, that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus had even given him the keys to the kingdom. Despite those realities, he was not yet converted. He did not yet have the strength of the Holy Ghost. And he didn't have it within him to stand up when he needed to stand up, with consequences possibly. But he didn't have it within himself. He was not yet converted. So thankful that Jesus had prayed for him. And I believe Jesus prayed for us too. And oh yes, that prayer, oh, that came forth when, oh yes, his soul was so afflicted, and he prayed for his children, as it tells us in the book of John. Praise the Lord. But down the road, we know that Peter truly was converted. Oh, yes, he went out and wept bitterly after he denied Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, that wasn't the end of the story. And as human beings, we make mistakes. We have moments when, you know, we painfully realize afterwards we could have done better. Oh, we could have spoke up perhaps at a moment when we failed to do so, and or maybe we didn't, you know, come to do some work of faith. Maybe our words failed us, and you know, we just didn't stand the test. But praise the Lord, there is mercy with our God, and there is forgiveness. Praise the Lord that he might be feared, and oh yes, that we might overcome. But praise the Lord made provisions. He knew our weaknesses as human beings. He knew how we can be, you know, strong at one moment and wavering on the next. And he knew that when he went back to heaven, when his work here on earth was done, that we would need a strength greater than ourselves. We would need the Lord Jesus to give us a strength to stand, to resist the power of the enemy. Oh yes, to go forth and declare the gospel. Power to be a witness in this world. Oh yes, when it can be so conflicting and so confusing. The darkness can be so great, and oh, people can be so unreceptive. But praise the Lord, God knew that we would need the strength of the Holy Ghost. And before Jesus left this earth, he told his people, those that had followed him, his disciples, the need to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in Luke chapter 24. And here in Acts, the first chapter, we read it too. We look at Acts chapter 1. Let's do so. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It tells us, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Oh yes, he's telling them what to do. He knew he was going to be leaving very shortly at that moment. There they were all assembled together. And these are words that he wanted them to retain. And oh yes, go forth and heed. So he commands them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He'd already talked of the Comforter. He talked about the Spirit of Truth. He had talked of the Holy Ghost. Yes, he had told them that, yes, he would not leave them comfortless, but he would come unto them. And here, he's reassuring them again, and he's telling them how to go forth after he leaves this earth. And he says again in verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." You know, that word baptize, baptizo, in the Greek language means to immerse, to fully overwhelm. And praise the Lord, oh yes, there is the baptism in water that we are commanded to go forth and fulfill. But oh yes, there is also a baptism, an immersion with the Holy Ghost, to be fully overwhelmed with the Spirit of the living God. And here he is promising it to his followers, praise the Lord, those that were assembled with them. Of course, at the moment, they don't really understand. Verse 6 says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" See, they kept on seeing, you know, the kingdom of God is being physical, something here on earth. But Jesus went forth to tell them in verse 7, and he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." But oh my, see, there's a power that, oh yes, he was going to send forth. Oh, that would be greater than any earthly power. Praise the Lord, he was going to put a power within his people so that they could resist the temptation, so that they could have strength to stand in the evil day. And he goes forth to tell them, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the glorious gospel through the enablement of the Holy Ghost was not only going to begin in Jerusalem. Oh, but it was going to spread throughout Judea. And then unto Samaria. And then, praise God, unto the uttermost part of the earth. The gospel, the glorious gospel was going to spread. And oh, yes, he was going to send forth his Spirit to enable his people. Oh yes, to go forth as a witness, to have power, to be fully converted, to be fully transformed and changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Peter needed to be converted. Even though he had walked with Jesus those 3.5 years, he was not yet converted. But praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost was going to come upon him. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up unto heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he left, but he's coming back. He's coming back in like manner. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so they were reassured. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem," verse 12, "from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James." It tells us in verse 14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Oh, praise the Lord, there they were to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. That moment when they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with that power, they would be immersed in the Spirit of God. And praise the Lord, the day of Pentecost came forth shortly thereafter. And yes, the second chapter of the book of Acts tells us, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord breathing into them. Oh, the breath of His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Ghost, oh, that is the spirit of a departed one. It was the Spirit that had been in Jesus Christ while He walked this earth. Now, come back to dwell in the believers and the disciples. Praise the Lord in His people. And oh, praise the Lord as it came upon them. Oh, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I love how the Lord takes this unruly member, this tongue of ours. Oh, we yield our vessels, our bodies to the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn it over to Him. We surrender our wills to Him. Oh, we trust in His mercies and we call out to Him. Praise the Lord. And He takes that unruly member, that old tongue of ours that can get us into so many difficulties. And words are very hard to retract, aren't they? But praise God. Oh, He knew that we needed to be converted. We needed a strength to stand in the evil day. Praise the Lord. So praise God. Jesus did not leave us comfortless. But He came. He came back as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, to come and indwell in His people, to abide with His people, to live in His people, so to speak. Praise the Lord. And the evidence of the gift of the Holy Ghost came forth on the day of Pentecost. As, oh yes, the Spirit of the living God came upon them. And there were those outward manifestations besides the tongues, like as a fire that sat upon them, the split tongues. And that's quite a story in itself. But praise the Lord, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the living God came upon them. And what we see, as this is being manifested, as, oh yes, the power of the Lord Jesus comes upon their beings, the multitude, those, oh, that were gathered there in Jerusalem, all came together. Oh, it was noise abroad that spread forth. Oh my, something mighty, amazing has happened. There's a lot of noise going on. Oh, something very different. There's quite a demonstration that's going on in this upper room. And oh my, besides that, I don't know. I think it must have led them out in the street. And so it was as the crowd assembled. And oh, it was so amazing as the people came forth. The multitude came forth and they were confounded. Oh, it was, just perplexing. How could they speak forth in, you know, their own native tongues? These are Galileans. How could they speak in my native language? They wondered. And they were from many different parts. Oh, they're identified. Oh, yes, it tells us, verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh, yes, what a marvel, what a thing, oh, to witness. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy." Praise the Lord. Yes, Peter. Oh, yes, he's not cowardly now. He's not denying Jesus now. Now he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he stood up with the 11. He lifted up his voice, and he proclaimed the good news, and he told them, oh, very clearly, oh, no, these are not drunken like you might suppose. It's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh, praise the Lord. There from Joel, the second chapter, that prophetic utterance that it would come to pass in the last days that God would pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, this is what came forth on the day of Pentecost. This was a fulfillment of Joel, the second chapter. This was the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, and we just all realize the boldness of Peter as he went forth, standing there before those individuals that were together there in Jerusalem, and declaring, verse 19, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come." Oh, the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, yes, his return as King of kings and Lord of lords. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he's going to tell them how to call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, he goes on to say, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Praise the Lord, there from Psalm 16. Praise the Lord, that now being fulfilled. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, that declaration, Peter telling them to their face. Oh, yes, that they had taken this one. They had taken this Jesus of Nazareth, who did these miracles and wonders and signs. Oh, the Son of God, praise the Lord. they had taken him and by wicked hands crucified and slain him. We see his boldness as he proclaims the gospel. Oh, yes, and as he declares it so boldly. Oh, without a struggle, it seems, because I know that God was giving him the authority and the ability that he needed to go forth and declare what had now happened. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say, verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Praise the Lord. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." Praise the Lord. Oh, he's bringing it out. He's explaining what God hath wrought. Oh, yes, how he has been exalted. Oh, despite the reality that they crucified him. Oh my, but now he is reigning on high. Praise the Lord. And now he has sent back that promise of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 34, "For God is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord." Excuse me, did I read that right? It says, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Oh, praise the Lord. God's will is done. Praise the Lord. And all the devils attempt to make this great setback, and oh yes, to go forth and try to gain what he wanted to gain, the hearts of men. Oh, it came to nothingness, did it, that which Satan had determined? No, God had come forth. Oh yes, Jesus Christ had been resurrected, and now both Lord and Christ. And praise the Lord, after Peter preached this message, it tells us in verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And here it is. Peter is telling them how to call upon the name of the Lord, how to respond to the gospel. Verse 38 tells us, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't restricted for just that moment. The Holy Ghost wasn't sent just so that they could minister to those that were gathered there on the day of Pentecost. No, it wasn't just for a certain time. No, that Holy Ghost, oh, that Jesus Christ, oh, sent forth, oh, there on the day of Pentecost, that promised gift was to them that were assembled there, but not only them, to their children, and to all that are afar off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, and I thank God He is still calling today. God is still calling. He is still touching hearts. He is still moving in this world. We may not have much time left. We are seeing things coming to an end. We are in that time period where we need to lift up our head and realize that our redemption draweth nigh. But yet there are moments yet. There still is some time. And praise the Lord, there are these moments that we could go forth and obey the gospel message, that need to repent and to be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. It came forth on the day of Pentecost. And oh, what a change. We see such a changed man as Peter now is converted. Praise the Lord. He has been strengthened. He has been given that power from on high. And oh, yes, third chapter of the book of Acts, we see again how Peter stands up boldly. Oh, yes, with words that have been inspired to tell them that Jesus Christ has made that man that was lame from his mother's womb, he has made him whole. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's able to instruct them, to tell them, and to tell them to their face that they had indeed denied the Holy One and the just, and granted a murderer to be granted unto them. Instead of Jesus Christ, they killed the Prince of Life. Read his words in that third chapter of the book of Acts. He's very bold. But praise the Lord, he's been changed by the power of God. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, it tells us in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it was that they had been with Jesus, and yes, they had received that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, to strengthen them. And oh, to give them that enablement to stand against the wiles of the enemy, of the devil. Praise the Lord. And therefore, the Lord has that power for his church today. Oh, yes, we need a strength beyond our own to withstand those things that are coming to pass on this earth right now. Oh, we're not going to be able to do it of our own strength or volition. We're going to need the strength and the power of Almighty God. But praise the Lord, he has not left us comfortless. Oh, yes, he sent back his Spirit so we could receive power from on high, so we could be a witness, we could be a light in this world that is so full of darkness. Praise the Lord. And yes, with that, he has given us his armor, his strength, his enablement, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, praise the Lord. Oh, so that we can come against every foe. Oh, yes, every adversary, all the confusion of this world. We can have a strength beyond that of our own. Oh, thank the Lord. But how we need the strength of the Holy Ghost. Peter needed it. All those that were assembled there in that upper room needed it. And I do believe there, as Peter ministered on that day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, those that were pricked in their hearts and went forth to obey the gospel, repenting of their sins and being baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe they also received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That power from on high that came to indwell in their very beings. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for what God has done. And oh, yes, that's how we're going to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And that's how we can watch and pray and be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass this time, this period, and to be able to overcome, to stand before the Son of Man. It's going to take the Lord's strength. It's going to take His power. But praise the Lord, He sent back the Holy Ghost so we could be strengthened with might from on above. And oh yes, we could have a boldness. We could have a courage. Oh yes, we could go forth and have strength to stand in the evil day. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that which He has sent forth, that Holy Ghost that God hath given to them that obey Him, as it tells us in Acts the 5th chapter, even verse 32. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, they were able to resist even the Sanhedrin, even the high priest and all his officers, because, oh yes, they had a power from on high. And they could rest in that. Praise the Lord. And to go forth and boldly obey God rather than men. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. I pray, O Lord, that You would move in our hearts. I pray, O Lord, O God, that You would give us that ability, O Lord, to cry out from the depths of our soul. For, Lord, You are the same. You poured out Your Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And, Lord, I know You can pour out Your Spirit even now to those, O Lord, that will believe You, Lord, who will accept Your gift, O Lord, who will give it all to Thee, who will surrender the will to Thee, Lord. I pray that You would move in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that You would bring forth faith. Oh, God, I pray that You would send forth Your Spirit, O Lord, so that we may have power to prevail against the enemy, O Lord, to stand fast in this day, in this hour, this last time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Strength to stand in the evil day. Yes, the Holy Ghost power and enablement. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Praise Your holy name. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, God. Oh, thank You, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 191 and sing Old Time Power, 191.
Fire came down upon them as the Lord.
Bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.